This is going to be the last session of this summer P-Conference of three talks. First is going to be by Jeremy Allison. Let me welcome Jeremy. I think everybody knows him, long-time member of Samba team. I think you've been the second real whatever contributor to Samba.
You were number three.
Yeah. Hey, give you credit. And Jeremy is going to talk about how we can enable non-root users on workstations do what a power user on a Windows workstation would expect to be able to do, namely adding and removing and administrating their own shares. So delegating some administration by Jeremy. Welcome.
Thanks very much, Volker. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, normally my voice is much, much louder than this, but I'm afraid the leper of the Samba team, Andrew Bartlett, gave me flu or something close to it since I arrived here. So if I suddenly run off stage and you hear the sounds of me going to the bathroom through the mic or something or throwing up, then I'm afraid you'll know what happened. And you'll be recording it too. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, you can edit that out. Ah, yes. It'll be on the bloopers tape of the Samba XP conference. So, why does Samba need to change? Well, we need to change because, to be honest, Windows does this a lot better than we do. So, right now, Windows essentially splits out certain administrative tasks, and the one I'm going to talk about mainly here is the capability of sharing directories, and they essentially allow you to assign specific groups, obviously individual users, but more usefully specific groups. Someone's kicking the... more importantly, specific groups to have various capabilities. And what the effect of this is that it essentially splits open the all-powerful root user and allows delegation of various capabilities that you might want to do to administer a server. And this is, you know, this is a very nice feature, and we should definitely try and do the same thing. As I say, you can... normally it's server operators and administrators that are both groups on a Windows server. And Windows administrators are used to using a GUI file browsing tool, going to a directory, right-clicking and saying, share this directory. And there's absolutely no reason why a Linux system can't do the same thing. So we decided to enable this for the next release of SUSE Linux, and this talk is basically about how we did that, and a little more about how you might create what I call the delegate and forget permission model. So, we want Samba to be much easier for Windows-trained administrators to configure and use. Now, we can do that already by having lots and lots of complex back-end scripts that are called via smb.conf. So we improve the RPC calls in the server. People use the Windows management tools to access a Samba server, and the Samba server essentially behind the scenes calls a bunch of really ugly scripts. You know what they are. You've all seen them. They're really nasty and ugly. It works quite well. To be honest, when this work was first put into Samba, I was expecting that people would create much more turnkey systems based on these scripts. And in fact, a lot of the appliance vendors and the people who OEM Samba inside NAS-type servers, they tend to do this. But the Linux distributors don't. I guess it's the Linux companies are still run by people like me who believe that VI is the best system administration tool. So they don't usually give a lot of these flexible backend scripts. They don't give you a pre-configured Samba that will do this out of the box. So it requires a lot of setup on the server side. And to be honest, nobody does this right. I mean, could you put your hands up if you actually do configure all this stuff so that Windows admins can add a share on your Samba servers? A couple of people do, you know. And you know what? They're the people who I know have to deal with large numbers of customers. But this should be done for you out of the box. You shouldn't have to do this. This is a mess. You have to map the Unix groups into the Samba group database, which we've talked about before is very ugly. We want to be able to assign privileges on the group basis. Privileges are now enabled by default in Samba, which makes things easier. And as I said, we've got lots of horrible complex scripts that need to do everything in behind the back of Samba. So what's our fundamental problem? Our fundamental problem is we have one config mechanism that is a flat text file that you have to be root to write into. And, you know, anyone who can write into smb.conf can become root on the system. And so that's a very ugly thing. And likewise, under the POSIX permission model, only the owner of a file or directory and root can actually change permissions. Now, I've talked to a lot of Windows administrators, and I've talked to a lot of companies that were thinking of, have tried and failed sometimes, have tried and succeeded in others, and they're looking at moving Windows servers onto Samba. And one of the things that we often ask them is, how are your ACLs set up? Because the ACL permission models are different. And a very interesting fact occurred, and that is that most companies don't know how their ACLs are set up. And the reason for that is that what they tend to do is they delegate the setting of permissions on various data files to the groups that own that data. So they say, okay, this is the finance share, and the finance guys know what's important and what's, you know, what should be secure and what everyone can have. And they let the administrator of the finance share decide what the permissions are. And the way they do that in Windows is they make all the files under the finance share owned by the finance group. And you could just have a group owner. You don't even have to have a user owner. And so what you get is, you know, we're talking to the main system administrators of the entire company, and they literally don't know how a lot of the permissions are done because they've never had to do it. They've essentially done a delegate and forget. They've created a share, or they've allowed someone to create a share. They've set the owning permissions on the top-level directory, and they forgot about it, and they simply don't know. So we need to enable that delegate and forget permission model in Samba to make it a lot easier for Windows admins to get comfortable and to use Samba in their environment. So we want to be able to give a group the right to create shares and also to administer the permissions within them. And the concept I'm going to talk about, which is presenting the user shares concept, this is code that's gone into the SUSE version that's going to be shipped on SLES 10, and it's also gone into 3.0.23. The goal is essentially to allow people to create shares as a non-root user. So, what are user shares? And, well, of course, I'm an old-style Unix hacker. And as I said, with all good Unix IDEs, it's a text file, and you can edit it with VI. It's a small file that essentially contains a share definition. And usually you would place it within the Samba config directory. And each of these files defines a share. And they don't have to be created by root. They are deliberately designed not to be pulled in as an hash include from smb.conf. Because essentially, if we did that, we're allowing people to write into smb.conf and they'll become root, which is what we don't want. We want to maintain the permissions on the system. So these are files that are deliberately designed to be read by SMBD, a root process, but be written by non-root users. And so SMBD has to take a lot of precautions to defend itself from malicious attack, because this is the first time that SMBD has actually read non-root files. I mean, I know it reads non-root files all the time when it's serving files out, but in terms of its configuration information, this is the first time that SMBD reads non-root configuration information. But it allows you to delegate the creation of shares to people who have the rights to create files in a particular directory. So what does it look like? Well, as simple as I can get it. That's a standard user share file. So we have a version number, a path, a comment, and an ACL. And I'll go into, most of this is self-explanatory, but I'll go into exactly what each of those things mean. So obviously the first line allows me to make revisions in the user share file format, because I'm not making that mistake again. We've made that mistake in various other config TDBs and whatever. It's always good to have a version number. So obviously the path and comment lines are identical to the way they're used in SMB.com. The path parameter must be absolute. I actually looked into the way SMBD parses the path parameter, and it turns out that it doesn't enforce the fact that a path must be absolute. But I really wanted to make sure that there was no way a user could essentially... I don't know, it was unexpected. I don't like unexpected things in user shares. I wanted to really tighten up definitions, so I didn't want to allow anything to be created there that might not look anything other than exactly what I was expecting. So I said, okay, it's going to have to start with a slash. It's going to have to be absolute. The user share ACL entry essentially allows two ACL values. The permitted values are R for read only and F for full access. When I was first designing this, there were various people saying, oh, you should use the Windows Security Descriptor Format language. And I had a big argument about that. And the reason I didn't use that is because these are not file system permissions. These are permissions that are applied simply to share definitions. So with a share definition, you can do two things. You can either read it or you can read and write it, i.e. F, full permissions. And you have a list of users and groups who can do that. If you're not listed, then you don't get any access whatsoever. So the default is everyone read-only access. So if you create one of these things and you don't specify any ACL, you'll be creating a read-only share that everybody can access. Now, there is one question I would like to ask the group here, because this is something that has come up internally in Novell, Susie, when we were designing this. And that is, right now, the user shares on guest, then, there is no guest access permitted to user shares. You have to be a known user on the system, in the domain or, you know, locally on the box. There's no guest OK equals yes. Now, there's been a request internally to allow guest OK in user shares. So, I'm going to take a quick straw poll of the audience. Who thinks it's a good idea to allow guest OK equals yes to be specified in a user share file? Okay, and who thinks it's a terrible idea and that you should only specifically allow? That's really tough. That's 50-50. That really is 50-50. I mean, I erred on the side of more restrictive. So the current definition does not allow guest access to user shares. Essentially, I was thinking, look, the people who are going to be using this are groups within a corporation, and you don't want them to be randomly giving out guest access to everybody. Having said that, you know, this was tested on the Novell, the Slez Linux desktop, and somebody complained because they wanted to make a file share publicly writable to someone who was not part of the test, and they couldn't do it. Now, there is a way to make user shares readable by guest, but it's an all or nothing thing. In other words, you can make all user shares have guest access or none of them. So I'm going to have to think about that. I may end up having a version 2 user share file that allows you to add a guest OK parameter. So in the immortal words of Laurence Olivier, is it safe? You're reading non-root files from SMBD. Is it safe? Are you sure it's safe? So, you've really got to protect SMBD. So, in order for SMBD to read random files out of a user-writable directory, there are certain extremely paranoid things that we have to put in. when I was first designing this, I thought, this is going to be easy. I can knock this up in 2 or 3 days. And the more I started to code it up, the more paranoid I realized I had to be to make sure that Joe Random User couldn't link, a FIFO leading to his own process or all sorts of stuff I had to disallow. So essentially, I have to make sure that the users who can write into the user share directory where these files live hasn't suddenly decided to create 10 million files in the directory. And if SMBD scanned them all on startup time or, you know, when it thought something had changed, it would take rather a long time to get back to serving files. The other thing that people might do is to link them to device files. Oh, I linked the user share file to dev SDA1 or something, and I'm reading raw data off the hard drive or something. Or somebody might put a symlink to something else. There's all sorts of really nasty things. Users are very, very creative in screwing you up. And so I'm hoping that what I've got in there right now is robust. I mean, I don't want to go through all the code, but it does all sorts of, it checks the path name, it opens the file, it does an lstat to make sure it's not a symlink, it opens the file, it then does an fstat and makes sure that the device and inode that it got on the lstat are the same as the ones that it gets on the fstat to make sure that there's been no symlink races. There's just all sorts of absolute power. It opens everything with I think it's end delay and also no follow for symlinks. There's all sorts of stuff it has to protect against. Oh, the other thing, of course, is it might be a link to a file that's, you know, gigabytes in size. So if SMBD tries to read it, bang, you've just blown the SMBD up. There's a lot of things that can go wrong here. So I hope, and I think, that's why it's in pre-release, that the code in there is safe enough to use. And there's nothing that people could do. I was trying to be fairly creative in attacking what you could do with this. And I'm hoping that I've protected against all of it. But obviously, review of the code is very welcome. So how do you set this up? You set a bunch of parameters which are currently undocumented, and this is my fault, in smb.conf. They're undocumented in the pre-release. They will be documented for the final 3.0.23 release. Because it will be a showstopper bug, and we're not allowed to ship until I've done it. So, what you do is you set the thing up. Initially, SMBD just doesn't know about user shares at all. You set them up by setting up two things. You say user share path equals, and that points at the directory where the user shares can be created. And this directory, in and of itself, has to have some special characteristics. First, it must be owned by root. The group ownership can be different, but it must be owned by root. I don't want it to be pointing at just a random user-owned file. In other words, I want to make sure it's the root user that set this up. It must have the tbit set in its permissions, which prevents different users from overwriting each other's files. So Joe can't overwrite Fred's user share file. And it only must allow root and the group owner or ACL group owners or ACL user entries to write into it. In other words, the other permissions must not have read access, and it checks that. So it basically wants to make sure that it's fully accountable who's creating the files in there. So there's another configuration parameter. There's no way to effectively protect yourself from a directory denial of service and still provide service. So if somebody creates 200 million files in the directory, the best you can do is to stop reading them and say, I'm not doing user shares, there's too many files in this directory. And then hopefully, because it's owned by root and there's a group owner, only a certain group can write to it, you can find out who actually did that and fire them, because all the files will be owned by the person who did the denial of service on it. So what it does is it allows you to say, how many overall user shares am I going to allow users to define? And, 10 or 100 is probably a reasonable number. And SMBD, as it reads the directory linearly, it allows 20% of those entries to be bad. So in other words, if you said it'd be 100, it would essentially, if it got to 120, it'll stop reading after it's hit 120 files. It'll allow 20 of them to be malformed, zero, bad SIM links, whatever, it counts. So even if you've got 200 million files in the directory, if you've got user share, max share set to 100, it will stop reading after it's read 120 files. And so that basically, it doesn't still provide service in the face of denial of service attacks, but it allows SMBD to continue and not be blocked. Another parameter we have is user share only, owner only, and by default that's set to true. What that does is it says that when I'm reading and parsing a user share file, I'm going to check that the directory that is being shared out is actually owned by the user who created the user share. So that's a way that you can restrict people to share out only directories that they own. Now, you know, personally, I think that was a little too restrictive, but people quite like the idea internally of saying, no, you can only share out your home directory or whatever. You can't share out /etc or something. So that's on by default. So it's actually a little better than the Windows mechanism. The Windows mechanism allows you to essentially share any file that you can get to, any directory you can get to. This allows you to restrict the directories that you can share to be the ones that you actually own. Better hurry up a little. Then I got fancy, you know, like you do. You're doing stuff in SMB.conf and you think, oh, I could do this, and this would be cool too. So I ended up adding user share prefix allow and deny lists, which are... Was that your idea? Oh, thank you, Volker. Yes. So these two parameters are Volker's fault. I don't remember where that came from. You're right, I remember the arguments now. So user share prefix deny list, just a simple example, it's too hard to explain. Essentially, it's a standard kind of list saying, okay, don't allow anyone to share anything starting with /etc/dev/temp. And then it would essentially just ignore, it would treat as bad user share files that attempted to share those. And if you have a prefix allow list, then anything that doesn't match those will be prevented from being shared. So you can say, yeah, you can create any user shares, but there can only be places that are under /home or /data. And then this is the thing that allows guest OK equals true, but only for all user shares or none of them. And so the idea is, yeah, okay, you might want to have some special weird site permissions like, create mask or any of the millions of weird permissions that we've got that are per share. So what you can do is you can actually define a template share, and it doesn't have to be a real share. It can be a bogus one where you set valid minus valid equals false. You set up the parameters you want all user shares to have, and then you say user share template share equals that share name. And then when the user share is created on behalf of the user, it clones all the default parameters from that share. So it's hopefully quite flexible. So here is the intelligent design of how to create a user share, or should that be the evolution of user shares? We're not in Kansas anymore. So, as I say, you first set up your SMB.conf, and that probably would be a standard place that vendors might put it, etc. Samba user shares. On my test box, I stick everything under user local Samba, so I've got user local Samba lib user shares. Create it, change the group owner to be, and so this is basically the group delegation. Only people who are in the group who owns that directory can actually create user shares. So you set the file permission to be 1770, which is the sticky bit, the T bit, etc. Tell how many user shares you want, and then you go ahead and create them. So I actually got the net user share command to do proper help, and so that's a quick précis of the help. Output from net user share. I will be turning that into either a how-to or a man page for net. That is, net's man page is soon going to arrive at SMB.conf, I think. So I thought I would now do a brief demo, command line based, because I don't do Windows VMware crap on my laptop. It's mainly a presentation machine. I'll just show you user share being created. And I have no good reason for putting that particular picture on there other than I liked it. So, and it kind of amuses people while I'm talking. So, hang on a minute. There we go. Right. So, just to prove there is nothing up my sleeve, Samba lib user shares. Oops, I shouldn't do a more than that. I should do an ls. It is empty. So I do net user share add. No, notice I am not root. I am Jeremy. Ooh, net. I'll hurry up. User share add. And let's see what the parameters are. Share name, path, comment, and ACL. So I'll say net user share add. And I'll call it foo/temp/foo, which is a directory I particularly created and is owned by me. Comment bibble. And let's say Jeremy has. Let's say Jeremy has full access to that. There you go. In classic Unix tradition, it doesn't say a damn thing when it does it right. Net user share. So that's how you know it worked. User share list. Oh, look, we have a user share called foo. And if we do info foo, we can see that's what it looks like. And it's translated the SID into the machine account, which is laptop. J laptop, Jeremy. And essentially, if I just cat the file, you'll see essentially all the only difference between that and the info is it's got the SID in there and it shows you the friendly name. So if I do SMB client minus L 127001 Jeremy password Jeremy very secure and I'll do that through more. You should see we have a share foo with a comment bibble. And I can do net user share delete foo. And it's gone! Woo! Amazing! So let's just quickly add it again. And let's do SMB client foo. And there we go. Nothing up my sleeve. So we're actually now looking into temp foo directory. And I can prove that by echoing temp foo bibble. Let's see. There we go. We have bibble. So now you have essentially a small user space administration, non-root. There's SMBD running as root, seeing the file, etc., etc. It's not terribly exciting, but it's what you can do with it that really matters. So let me. It's not the command line use of it that's important. So let's go to the next slide. So it has been integrated by the SUSE engineers into Nautilus and Conqueror. Of course, you know, KDE users are criminals for which hanging is too good, but, you know, they do want to be able to create user shares as well, whereas us, one true GNOME users using Nautilus, have it completely integrated. And it just invokes net user share underneath the covers. Nobody's getting my jokes, never mind. The only bad bug with it is, unfortunately, the net command, and in fact all of Samba's user tools, are not properly internationalized. So what that means is if underneath the covers Nautilus or the evil conqueror calls net user share to create the share and it fails and comes back with there are too many user shares or you don't own it, it's going to say it in English, which is really going to suck for a German administrator who's like, why is my evil conqueror talking to me in English? So Windows administrators, English-speaking Windows administrators, will finally feel at home. So here is an example of what the good and virtuous Nautilus looks like in GNOME, doing folder sharing. you right-click, share this folder, you've got a share name. And right now, essentially, it's just flipping the everyone full control or everyone read, and you can have a little comment there. Eventually, it's going to be integrated in with the Nautilus ACL editor to allow you to put more complicated ACLs into a user share. So, actually, I better really hurry up. The other part of my talk is basically saying that you want to be able to create, you want to be able to delegate the modification of permissions to a certain group, hopefully the group who created the user share. And you want it to be a shared space for that group. You don't want to have administrator support to set permissions. Of course, that sucks in Unix because only root can change the permissions of a file or a directory that the user doesn't own. But SMBD is root. We can do the same thing. The only problem is this is not integrated with the share creation. It would be nice if we were able to sort of create a share and modify the permissions at the same time. So how would you do this? I just wanted to put this in. We'll probably post it to the wiki. I think a lot of people don't know that we can do this and don't know how to do this. So if you want to have a group shared writable space that other people can write, that is essentially acts the same as a share that is owned by a particular group, you create the share directory, share it out with the user share, and you set the directory permissions to the set GID bit, give the owner and group all permissions, and then you add the parameter ACL group control equals yes, although Jerry has deprecated it almost immediately. I don't think it ever got out in a release. And DOS file mode now does the same thing. And what that allows is, well, the set GID bit means that all files and directories created within it will inherit the group from the owning directory, not from the creating user, and it propagates the set GID bit down directories. And the ACL group control or DOS file mode essentially allows SMBD to override POSIX and say, if you are in the group that is the primary group owner of this file or directory, I will override POSIX, I will keep being root, and I will allow you to modify the permissions. So that essentially allows group administration in a directory hierarchy underneath a particular share. So the conclusion is we can get closer to an ease of use Windows style of administration. We need more glue code and wizards to make it look as seamless as Windows, but we can get there with vendors' help. We really do need to move Samba forward using this. I mean, we've got the early adopters. You guys are the early adopters. We've been early adopters for 11 years. It's about time we did the mainstream. So yeah, we could have done user shares via a clever enough scripting of add and delete, but nobody seems to be able to ship that in a working fashion. So yeah, I thought it was easier to just go directly to the GUI people. And like I say, we need more wizard-like functionality to make setting up shares easier. And that doesn't necessarily mean from Samba. Other people can do that. So that's the end of it. I've just made it in time. And does anyone have any questions or comments? Yeah?
Wait a second.
You can use a statement that user share template and show to another share. Must it be an existing share, or you can create any kind of framework that this is not an existing share, but any share should look like this?
So if I can rephrase the question, you're saying, if you want to model user shares after an existing share, does it have to be a real share, is essentially what you're asking. Well, so that's why I added the minus valid equals false. That's a little known smb.conf parameter. What you can do is if you want to create a template share for user shares that is not a share, that is, it looks like a share definition, but it doesn't appear in the share list, it isn't a real share, people can't connect to it, you can even call it template if you like. What you do is you set the thing up, you give it all the definitions, and the parameter you add to it is minus valid equals false. If you do that, SMBD will parse it as a share, but it will automatically set it invalid, and it will appear nowhere. It will appear in no lists or whatever. So that is how you create essentially an invalid share that is a template for user shares. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yeah, Simo.
I think we are a bit out of time, so that should be the last question.
Last question, sorry.
First, ask the question. Why you choose to use files and not use something like a TDB to store these shares and go through all the process of the security
problem? This is going to be a multiple question, isn't it? So why did I use files instead of a TDB? Because you can't edit TDBs with VI. Next question. Right. And, you know, and when I was testing this stuff, I didn't have the fancy net user share add stuff, so I was creating them with VI. It's a valid question, but to be honest, they are so simple and user-readable, there is nothing to be added by creating a TDB out of those. And in fact, at that point, you've got a file that anyone in a group has to write into, and you can, at that point, how do you stop people destroying other people's share definitions? Because anyone who can write to the file can destroy it all. It's easier to do that in the permissions.
Yeah, the following question was, we don't have still LDB available for some, but you see an upgrade path to move from files to, for example, an LDB store that is...
I'm sorry, can you...
LDB store in future?
LDB
that's
store
usable
for
with LDB edit. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't see user shares ever being anything but files in the file system. Simply because of that particular fact. In a shared database that's writable by anyone, if I can write into that LDB database, I can destroy it.
Hey, but we're going to have ACLs.
Huh? No, even with ACLs, if I can open the file, I can cat garbage into it, and I can destroy that file. Having fancy ACLs in the libraries that protect the file doesn't stop anyone who has the rights to open that file to write garbage into it. Well, but if you're going through like an...
What about discussing that in private?
Never mind. We're finished.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.